Thank you, Kent, for speaking the words of which we probably, in song, the words which we need most. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you above all are an amazing God. You above all, Father, a creator and sustainer. Father, we live and breathe to worship you. Father, so many things in this world take us away from you. And so in this moment, Father, in your presence, Holy Spirit, may you bring us back to the Father. In the name of Jesus, the church said. I think I heard it best this week. Steve Maxwell, a dear brother to me, I've known for quite a while, was sharing some things, and he shared a video of two ministers that were discussing the events of what was going on. And one of the ministers said, "This cannot be legislated, it starts right here." That's the best thing I heard all week. Because I think everybody's struggling. Whether you're the one that feels oppressed or are oppressed, or you're the one that doesn't understand what's happening. You're trying to struggle and try to figure out so you can see things from other people's perspective. It won't be legislated. It will be started right here. And I think that's so important because Jesus, when he would tell his disciples, because I think when we go back to the root of things, what I keep hearing and what I firmly believe is that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to the world. To the world's problem, to the world's sin, to the world's trouble, to the world's racism, to the world's negativity. Jesus is the answer. Amen? He would say that this is how they, speaking to people outside of us, would know that you are my disciples. By what? Do you know what he said? By your love for one another. And so everything comes back to Jesus, and it comes back to love. Love is all around us, right? Maybe except when it's not. But it is all around us. I'll be married to that lady right there 21 years on Friday, I think, right? There's all kinds of books. You go to the bookstore. There's all kinds of books about love. 7 Ways to Love Your Spouse, followed by the second edition of 7 Ways to Love Your Spouse Because You Messed Up Number 5 and Number 7 in the first edition. I mean, they're all around us. Maybe we overuse the word love. Wednesday, we took Madeline to her regular checkup for her diabetes, and we happened to pass by a place, a restaurant by the name of Chewy's on the way home. And I first dipped a chip into the queso with meat sauce. I love queso from Chewy's, right? Maybe we overuse it sometimes. It was just kind of good. But maybe we don't use it enough. And so today's about love. Today's about love, not from our perspective, but love from Jesus' perspective, from God, from the Holy Spirit's perspective. Because truly, left up to our own devices, we mess up all kinds of things. Left up to myself, I mess up all sorts of stuff all the time. And so we're going to go back to the Word. We're going to look at what the Word says about love. And so we'll talk a little bit about some various things. I read an article that talked about different types of love out of the Scriptures. But truly, it starts here. And if you think you're not on a national stage and you can't do much about the evil that exists in the world, let me tell you, you're wrong. Because the world will know about Jesus because of you, and because of me, because of all of God's people and our love for each other. But the first kind of love, and I'm going to give these to you in the scriptures, and then it'll be yours to kind of meditate on this week. The first kind of love is called a churchy love. I mean, it's a warm, fuzzy type love. Tim and I were talking about fuzzy, warm and fuzzy love this week. Truth is, we were born to love. I mean, you were made to love, and you cherish. I mean, if you see on social media all these pictures of and videos of these kids, these babies, they're born to love, right? They don't start hating. They were born that way, and because of who they are or whose they are. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8 would say this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And so it's because of whose we are, right? It's because of where you came from. You see, you're not just, kids, you're not just a product of mom and dad. If you want to learn about that, if you want to learn about the physical makeup of your body and how you got here, ask them over lunch today, all right? Just say, "How was I made?" All right? That's not who you're truly made of. That's who God uses to bring us into this world. But we're made to love because we're made from God. Parents, get ready to answer some questions, all right? It's all right. We can talk about stuff like that. We're born of God. How often do we tell our children, this is where you came from? You came from God. Therefore, you love, and we do love. Love everybody always. That sounds good, right? I mean, nobody hated me when I came in the door. Bob hasn't said a crossword to me yet. I don't think we've talked yet, but he wouldn't have. And nobody else has either. I've bumped elbows. And I've shook some hands. Are we allowed to do that yet? I don't know. I use hand sanitizer afterwards right away. But we love each other. And it's kind of a churchy type love. And that's kind of where this comes from. And so we're supposed to love everyone always, right? We can do this. Maybe most of the time. Sometimes it's not quite so easy. Easy love is convenient love. Another kind of love. Loving your wife. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It is easy to love my wife. If you don't love my wife, then you've got the issue, because she's as kind and gentle-hearted as anybody I've ever known in my entire life. She will not curse you. She will not, well, not to your face, but she won't behind your back either. She will always give. She will always help. She will always do the things that you need her to do if you need. It's easy. It's easy for me to love my wife. God gave me somebody that I could love. I love my children. Proverbs will say, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. I love my children. Honestly, though, my kids are two good kids. Last week, somebody had said, raise somebody in the parenting advice. Raise somebody you love being around. I love being around my children. Proverbs chapter 18 would say, the one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's easy to love a lot of our friends. I have friends that I made years ago, and we still to this day connect because of the love that we have for each other. Even our animals. Proverbs chapter 12 would say, the righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest of acts are wicked and cruel. It's easy to love our animals. If you don't love Coco, my chocolate lab, then again, the problem is on you, because she's just as lovable as she can be. But what about those we don't want to love? See, those are convenient. You name somebody in your life, it's easy to love people that are close, for the most part. What about people we don't love? Jesus would have some words for this in Matthew chapter 5. He would say, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And what'd you have to go do that for, God? What'd you have to go throw that in there for? I don't like that. We don't like to love those who do bad to us, right? I mean, it's just not how I've been taught, maybe. It's not the things that I have learned. But Jesus says, you look at those who don't love you, and you love them back. That's not very convenient, right? But that's the call of the gospel. And that's the different love than this world. You see, all too often, I think we've loved like this world has loved. And we've kind of gone along with the ways that this world has gone along. And we've kind of segregated ourselves in this culture because the world has segregated us. Look around you. I had to swap pulpits with Thomas Fitzgerald to preach at a church with predominantly black members. And I only got to do that once where we lived. Best Sunday ever when we lived there. They talked back. I loved it. I loved it. But then I went back to my white church the week after. And Thomas went back to his black church the week after. And when we talked about mingling, guess what? I don't think so. Nobody said it out loud because they didn't want to be the one to say it. But I'm afraid we as a church have become like the culture that we are. Some of it's natural, all right? Some of you aren't going to like this, but some of it's natural and it just happens. But some of it's because we don't like the other style. We don't like the other way. We don't like talking to those people. And I'm not talking about just black and white. We assimilate with those whom we love. We assimilate with those whom we feel comfortable with. And so we don't talk or worship with others. And brothers and sisters, that is wrong. It's convenient to love those who look like us. Maybe we need to look outside of us and begin to love even those maybe who have done things wrong to us. Leviticus chapter 19. Different context, different time, but a truth. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. Jesus must have heard that. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I and the Lord your God. Leave that up there for a second. You don't love other people because the preacher says love other people. You don't love other people because social media says you got to love this person or that person. You love everybody because God said do it. All right? When my children ask why, take out the trash, what's the answer? Because I said so. God created us to love, and he asked us to love, and he not only asked us to love, he told us, and he said, I am the Lord. There's your stamp. It's not an option. It's not something we can maybe do some of the times. But those are different than you. You love them. Because guess what? Everyone sitting in this room, everyone standing in this room, we were lost at one time, right? And God loved us. Then there's a gospel love. Jesus has not called us to something he has not already done. Isn't that interesting? Jesus has not called us to do something that he has not already done. This is what we do when somebody hurts us. We cut them off. When someone mistreats us, we cut them off. If you cut me off, not necessarily cutting off when we're driving down the road, but if I go to pass you and I've got my cruise on and you were going slow the whole time and all of a sudden I get up next to you and you decide to speed up, oh, we're done, all right? I've had enough of you. By that point, I don't even know who you are. Isn't that sad? We tend to cut people off who hurt us. Well, this is what Jesus said to the ones, about the ones that had just mistreated him severely. Okay, this isn't cutting somebody off. This isn't speeding up with somebody. Can I pause just for a minute? I'm not even on this mic. Why am I leaning down to that mic? I'm on this one. Can I pause just a minute to say amen to kids running up and down the aisles? I love it. Amen. Keep those kids coming. Keep them running up and down the aisle. Love it. Parents, don't ever worry about that. Don't ever worry about noises that are made, for we love it. This is what Jesus said about those who just hurt him. In Luke chapter 23. He said, Father, destroy them, because they hurt me. He didn't. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Father, they've beat me, they've insulted me, they've crucified me. Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He could have been done with them. And we sing the song, don't we? He could have called 10,000 angels to do what? To destroy the world and set him free. I don't think he could have. That's a debate for another time. Did he have the power? Yes. Love kept him on the cross. Does that make sense? That's what I mean by that. Love made him go to the cross. And love said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He knew what he was doing. And so when somebody cuts me off driving down the street, surely I can forgive them. Because he hasn't asked me to do something that he hasn't already done. Somebody says something offensive on social media, surely I can overlook it because he has not asked me to do something that he has not already done. Romans chapter 5 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Nice little sentence there, right? Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. I mean, really, there's a lot of good heroic stories that we know of that people died for a good person. But look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were rotten, while you were no good, while you didn't deserve anything from God, Christ died for you. Praise God for the love that he's shown. And surely, surely, I can show love to my fellow human beings because he hasn't asked me to do anything that he hasn't already done. Real quick, before we go too long here, impossible love. When you surrender your life to Jesus, all right, life no longer becomes about you. Did anybody tell you that when you gave your life to Christ? Life no longer is about you, about things that you want, about things that you desire. 1 Corinthians would say this, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I read this a lot as I'm doing a wedding ceremony. And in my head, I'm thinking, as I'm reading, oh, buddy, you're going to mess that one up. Oh, yeah, you're going to mess up. I don't say it, but I'm thinking it the whole time I'm reading, because it doesn't always happen, right? Because it's not God's love when it doesn't happen. Can we say that? Because when life is not about me, it's about God. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians chapter 5, right? We tend to think that we're supposed to have kindness and we're supposed to have perseverance and we're supposed to have all of those attributes in Galatians chapter 5. But truth be told, that's the Spirit living in us. And so we stumble and we say, well, I just wasn't very kind, or I didn't show very much love this week, therefore I am failing. And so we've taken what is possible for God and we've made it impossible for us. Because we fail and we have failings. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 will say this. It's not on the board. With man, it is impossible. Now, this is after Jesus is dealing with the rich young man. And the disciples looked to him and said, "Who is able to be saved? With man, this is impossible," he would say, "but with God, all things are possible." You think you can't love somebody else? Well, the context is not that. In Matthew chapter 19, you can. All things are possible for God. Then we have true love. The love of Jesus in us will accomplish more than we ever thought or imagined. The love of Jesus in us will accomplish more than we ever thought or imagined. A new command I give you, John chapter 13. Love one another. He didn't stop there though, right? Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. How do you love somebody who has a different skin color than you? You love them like Jesus loved them. How do you love someone who has chosen a different lifestyle than you? You love them as Jesus would love them. How do you love someone who speaks a different language as you? You love them as Jesus would love them. How does Jesus love? Well, he was equal with God. We know that. He was God. He left that equality to become one of us, to be just like us. In that passage, in when Paul would write in Philippi, to the church in Philippi, and he would say that he became in human likeness. There are two human likenesses there, and one of them is morphe, one of them is scheme. Morphe is the outer appearance, metamorphosis. That's what a butterfly does. It turns from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And the other is scheme. It's the inside. And he became just like us. So he went from a high position to a low position. He gave his life. He humbled himself. He became a servant. The God of the universe. Think about that for a moment. The God of the universe became a servant. He accepted other people. The Bible will tell us to accept others. Now let me say this. You don't have to accept somebody else's sin against you, all right? Somebody's hurt you. You don't have to accept somebody else's life if it does not line up with God. But all too often, this guy has tended to judge people based off first impression or what they're doing in life. God has never, ever, 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 ever called us to do that. We are people in this world. And until we learn that we are people who are sinners, loved by a perfect God, washed by his blood, we will never be able to love like he loved. So that's the challenge and the charge this week. Love like Jesus loved. That's true love. Not because somebody loved you back. You love them regardless. That's true love. So take an inventory this week. This is a challenge. Take an inventory this week. How are you loving people? How are you loving other people? How are you loving other people? I don't care if it's a different lifestyle, a different skin color, a different language, a different whatever. How are you loving these people? Is your love aligned with God? And if it's not, get on your knees this week. Say, God, bring me to loving this person, that person, and these people. Because if it won't be legislated, it will start right here. Amen? All right, let's wake up, church. Let's wake up and love like Jesus loved. And we will make a difference just from this room, just from those of you on, just those of you who are listening on the radio. We'll make a difference. Let's stand and sing.